Love Talk Radio.
Okay, here we are again. God has seemed fit to bless us with another day. Another day to reflect, to contemplate. Another day of introspection, another day to give thanks. Let me just tell you a little bit about myself and the reason why I played that intro, the Top Gun theme by Joe Satriani from the Surfing with the Alien album. I started my career as a young Marine in 1979. I was 3 months into my 17th birthday. I skipped my last year, my last few months of high school. Well, I did not walk with my class. I did not graduate with my class. I didn't even attend the senior prom. I took no senior pictures because I left for the Marine Corps on March 31st, 1979, a few months shy of my high school graduation. I was 17 years old, and I served the first 3 years of my career, the first two and a half, as an enlisted Marine. I reached the rank of sergeant, corporal, received promotion meritoriously to sergeant, and then during the course of my enlisted career, I had the I received the privilege of an education at the United States Naval Academy in Annapolis, class of 1983. I became a Marine officer, served for 18 months as an infantry officer, and then later became an appointment to attend flight training, and became a fighter pilot. I started off in the old A6 Intruder, moved over to the A4 Skyhawk, and in the replacement group, and then later moved into the Hornet. So that's why I played that intro. I give thanks for my military career, which spanned nearly 30 years. I'm still a relatively young man, given that I began my career as a Marine so early in life. I am 48, and I've been retired only a couple of years now. But let's move on. I want to start this first segment. And I'm gonna take this first segment from one of my most admired people. a person I admire greatly. His name is Mike Ditka. Let me give you some background here. The title of this next segment comes from an interview Mike Ditka did with the Chicago Sun-Times beat reporter Terry Bores back in the early 1990s, which went something like this. Bores, "Coach, it seems to me there isn't much fire in you anymore, that you just kind of sit back and say, well, this is the way it is. Do you still have the fire, Coach?" Ditka responds incredulously, "Well, you're the same guy that wrote about me when I did have the fire. That was the wrong thing to do. So who you crapping?" Bores responds, "Well, I'm just saying." Ditka responds, "Don't crap me now. No, don't crap me." So, that's how this segment works. It's called Who You Crappin', where you can text me or instant message me or come into the chat room or call in at 347-8400. Well, 347-884-8500. And tell me, you know, who you crappin'. If somebody's lied to you, misled you, told you a half-truth, a complete falsehood, or engaged in an act of verbal hypocrisy, well, now's your chance to expose that person with this segment of Who You're Crapping. And I'm going to go ahead and start off this segment with today's Who You're Crapping for me. And it's called Pay Freeze. Who You Crapping? President Obama proposed on Monday to freeze pay for federal civilian employees for 2 years. Purely coincidentally, of course, he was scheduled to meet with congressional Republicans the next day. Obama presented his decision as an early skirmish, heroically won in his epic quest to vanquish the federal budget deficit. Yes. War on the deficit has been declared by teleprompter-in-chief. He went on to state, "I did not reach this decision easily," he said. "This is not just a line item on a federal ledger. These are people's lives." Wow. He has a heart and he has a soul. "These are people's lives," he said. He has a heavy heart. His heart is heavy. These are real people. These are not just numbers. Not just numbers on a ledger. These are real people. It's a temporary freeze in pay. It's not an execution, jackass Obama. No one's pay will even be cut. It simply won't raise for 2 years. And the people whose pay is being frozen have, on average, seen substantially larger pay increases than their private sector counterparts in recent years. And may I add, have guaranteed pensions, guaranteed Cadillac health care programs. They will not be affected by Obamacare in any way at all, other than the fact that, you know, of course, there won't be any doctors to service them, and they'll still have to wait in long lines anyway because there'll be a doctor shortage because of all the influx of 30 million people being brought into the system who won't have to pay because we'll be paying for them. Other than that, it's all good. USA Today reported last year that in the first 18 months of the recession, federal employee pay rose 6.6%, while private sector pay rose 3.9%. More recently, this month, USA Today reported that a number of federal workers who earn at least $150,000 a year has doubled since President Obama took office. Can I repeat that for you? USA Today reported last year that in the first 18 months of this recession, federal employee pay rose 6.6%, while private sector pay rose a meager 3.9%. More recently, this month, the month of November, USA Today reported that the number of federal workers who earn at least $150,000 a year has doubled since Obama took office. So, Obama, who are you crapping? I mean, you should have seen the way he stood at that podium with such a heavy heart. He bit the bottom of his lip. Oh, no, no, somebody smacked him, didn't they? Well, he did the best. He did the best Clinton impersonation that I've seen in a long time. Do you remember when Clinton stood at the podium with such a heavy heart and bit the bottom of his lip and hung his head and then rose his head up and waggled his finger at you and me and said, "I did not have sex with that woman, Ms. Lewinsky." Well, Obama's saying he does not take this this is not just an item. He does not reach this decision easily. Dude, who you crapping? The president is hardly taking bread from the dust-covered fingers of starving children. But you wouldn't know it. You wouldn't know it from the reaction of left-wing groups. Wow. We think that is a terrible idea. We should be raising wages, said John Irons of the Economic Policy Institute. It's unclear why the president would want to do this. Dude, these folks are on the gravy train, that's why. Most of them don't do anything. Take it from someone who worked for the government for 30 years. These folks don't do jack. I'm telling you. They are getting over like rats. Fat, fat, fat rats. You got to be kidding. I mean, are you? But it's, you know, it couldn't be clearer. The president wants to create the perception as you know, that's because that's what he's all about. The perception that he cares. The perception that he's doing something. This guy could win an Academy Award for chief bullshitter of all time. He's better than Clinton. You know, we had a saying in the military, when referring to liars who were just masterful at it, who could make you believe anything. We had a phrase for these people. We had a saying for anyone who could lie as well as anybody. I mean, the best liars were called liars of Clintonian proportions. If you were a good liar, you were a liar of Clintonian proportions. Now we're going to have to revise that. You're a liar of Obamatonian proportions because this guy can lie. Check it out. The president wants to create the perception that he's concerned about the deficit and is willing to cut federal spending to shrink it. And he also wanted to enter today's talks with GOP leaders with a cost-cutting item on the table. so to really look good for him, for which he could take credit. Nevertheless, this was an idea. This was a GOP idea that he just took, and he took credit for it. Did not give credit to the GOP. He just took that idea and claimed it as his own, even though it's bogus. But this olive branch that he has given the GOP has a lot of thorns in it. In his press release announcing the proposal, the president blamed the deficit and the recession, not on George Bush, on all Republicans in general. Because here's what he went on to say. Because of the irresponsibility of the past decade, the president inherited a $1.3 trillion projected deficit upon taking office and an economic crisis that threatened to put the nation into a second Great Depression. This dude cannot help himself. Once again, he has taken the opportunity to blame someone else. I have been on this earth, living in this country, loving this country for 48 years. I have been attuned to politics since the Nixon era, because of course that's all we talked about in the House when his scandal broke out. So I've been keeping up with politics since that time. Never before has a sitting president taken the opportunity every chance he got to blame the previous administration in this manner, in this fashion, time after time after time after time. He is unable and unwilling, because it's not in his makeup, to take responsibility and say, hey, you know what? We've had some problems in the past. Some things were left on the table, but I'm handling it now. This is my job. This is my responsibility. The buck stops here. No, the buck is passed to the previous administration, and taking away the buck for our future generations. So he took an opportunity to blame George Bush and Republicans once again. Well, so much for bipartisanship. At least as average people understand the term. To Obama, though, this is bipartisanship. Freeze the pay after he has boosted the pay to an astronomical amount, and then blame the previous administration because he inherited a $1.3 trillion dollar projected deficit. Why don't you just cut the deficit, dude? Stop blaming everybody else. You're such a chump. I mean, he has come across as a weakling and a chump and a candy ass all over the world. Nobody loves him. Nobody respects him. His wife might love him. And we're not so sure about that. And maybe those two ugly brats of his. But he's not respected worldwide. You know what? This is a classic I didn't have a daddy syndrome. He didn't have a daddy in the household, and he's searching for love wherever he can find it. And when he doesn't get the love, he has a little hissy fit. Instead of going to jail properly, like some of the brothers, you know, spending a little time in the pokey, maybe going to prison for a few years because daddy wasn't there, he just simply reaches out and tries to be loved. And those folks who don't love him, they're his enemy. You know, right now the whole world's not feeling you, dude. And not even the Democrats are loving you. But you're still going on this same tired blame deal where you're blaming everybody else. Where's the character? Where's the character, Mr. Obama? You know, if there's one important thing that I learned as a Marine, as a private, all the way up to the rank of colonel, is that you don't go around blaming folks when things go wrong. You take responsibility, and you take responsibility whether or not the responsibility was yours all along. I can't tell you enough times where I took responsibility when things went wrong for the actions of those serving under me and for those serving above me. I took responsibility many times when things went wrong that were the responsibility of my commanding officer. Now, if you learn that as a young Marine, and you understand it, why doesn't the President of the United States understand that? Stop blaming George Bush. Stop blaming the Republicans. Stop blaming everybody else. Take charge and do your damn job. Now, this whole pay freeze deal is a bunch of crap because he has advanced federal worker salaries such to the extent that it's so far above what a civilian would make that a pay freeze means absolutely nothing. But there are folks who are outraged by it. It is amazing to me. He is playing us all for fools. Because he and his administration, as has been reported, believes that we're all just a bunch of Homer Simpsons. That we just don't understand. He blames the poor polls showing for his health care debacle on the fact that he just didn't sell it to us right. He was not able to persuade us to love this crap. He blames the fact that he got a, quote, shellacking, end quote, on the fact that he just wasn't, he didn't get out enough. He wasn't on TV enough. He didn't do enough Letterman or Leno or MTV. He wasn't able to persuade us enough. I say once again, who you crapping? At $5 billion, Obama's proposed pay freeze is a grain of sand in the ocean. That is the $1.3 trillion federal deficit. Republicans should be pleased that the president has offered it, but they should make a point of noting its size relative to the mass of the problem that will remain, even if it passes Congress. And that's a big if. Certainly if it's put up as an agenda for the lame duck session. To be clear, its size doesn't make it a foolish pursuit. Freezing federal civilian pay is a good, is as good an idea now as it was when Republicans made it part of the pledge to America this past summer. Wow. A liar, a charlatan, and a thief of ideas. That's what our commander-in-chief is today. And always. A consummate politician. It was a good idea all the way back when Obama included a 1.4% pay increase in his 2011 budget. Oh, yeah. Thanks to this month's elections, Obama has turned 180 degrees on the issue of federal pay, employee pay. That's good. Oh, yeah. But it's too early to call it encouraging. We've seen this trick before. On health care reform, remember that? Obama threw in a token business tax credit and claimed to have compromised by including business tax cuts on the stimulus. Obama also included some small tax cuts and claimed to have been mystified when Republicans, whom we know like tax cuts, when they didn't endorse it. Golly. You know, those small bones tossed to Republicans were only for show. Obama never intended to meet Republicans in the middle. Never. Never. Not even at the 10-yard line. Certainly not the middle. He never offered to significantly scale back his major initiative. Like everything with this president, it's all about the showmanship, not the substance. That's what it's all about. You know, that's why he throws down the teleprompter every chance he gets. You know, that's why he's unable to put together a coherent sentence or thought unless that prompter's working. It's just a big old mess. This guy is a piece of work. He is better than Clinton, or worse. It is a complete and utter mess. So, to be clear, this offers no difference. Republicans should thank the president, note how much ground is left to cover, and move on as if nothing significant has happened, because nothing significantly has happened. And that's my segment for the president on his pay freeze. Mr. President, and it pains me to call you that, who are you crapping? All right, let's move on. America's, let's call it what some of the folks in the media are calling it, and it's called Cablegate. Obama's Katrina times 10. America's governing regime is trying to make us believe that the greatest threat to this country is a man by the name of Julian Assange. If you did not know, Julian Assange is not a spy or an agent of an enemy government. He's not James Bond. He's the founder of something called WikiLeaks. What kind of name? What is that? I guess it's catchy. And it's an internet outfit that has released a pile of confidential and secret cables from the State Department. Our government officials tell us that Assange's act somehow poses a threat to our national security by undermining American foreign policy. One may well ask, what foreign policy is that? Dude is too busy flying off all, country after country after country at a whopping almost $200,000 an hour. The cables show something more. The cables that have been released show something that many have always known. That most so-called leaders and politicians are liars, schemers, crooks, egomaniacs, and, of course, my favorite, incompetents. That's what this says to me. They're a bunch of busybodies, whining and crying and spreading rumors and that kind of thing. That's what they're doing. It's silly. It sounds so childish. But unfortunately, the above characterizations applies only to this country's government elites. The documents reveal these people's duplicity and the fact that they cannot protect even their own internal data. They can't protect it. Now, I asked a couple of people, hey, would this sort of thing have occurred during the Bush administration? Would Ronald Reagan have tolerated this? We would have heard of Mr. Assange, and then no more, gone. WikiLeaks, poof, on one day, you can find him and Google him, Google his website, the next day, poof, gone. Obama doesn't care about this. He's completely tone deaf. He's so irrelevant. He's thinking about his next country visit. He can pick up some more souvenirs in India or Pakistan, as he calls it. I speak fluent Farsi. I was taught to speak it at the military communication school at Coronado in California. And I pronounce Pakistan, Pakistan. But when Obama is throwing out the name of a foreign country, he says the name of the country the way that the person who lives there would say it. So the other day when I heard him say Pakistan, he said Pakistan. I'd like to punch his ass in the face too. What an annoying jackass. Say Pakistan, you moron. I mean, come on. But listen, let's move. Come on. It's Pakistan. Don't say Pakistan, idiot. Now, I usually don't get this worked up over these things. But I've had, I would whisper it too. I could, and it would sound damn sexy. But this regime, let's move, this regime, not this administration, this regime, will try to deflect attention from itself by directing the anger of the American people to this tiny little frail-looking, not-so-manly-appearing Australian programmer. They will claim that Julian Assange represents a mortal peril and that he must be stopped and perhaps even killed. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Don't fall for it. It's preposterous. It's absurd. Ask yourself this. Who is the greatest threat to America? Is it an Australian programmer or Barack Hussein Obama? Assange is merely a website operator. Now, my dog can do that. He has no backing of powers to inflict harm on this country. Obama, on the other hand, has been using the powers of his office to systematically destroy the American economy. The dollar, our standard of living, and our standing in the world. He's going around bowing and scraping everywhere he goes. And he talks about how bad America is and how we've been dismissive and even derisive and, all that, throwing out those words. And just butt-kissing. No wonder his lips are brown or black. He's been kissing and licking so much butt across the world that his lips are brown. You ever notice that? I mean, the skin tone of his face is one color and his lips is another color. Because he's butt kissing everywhere he goes. He bends down so far, bowing to everyone he meets, that it looks like he's giving oral sex to sheiks and potentates across the globe. I mean, have you really noticed that he throws down a pretty deep bow? It kind of looks like he's going down on a potentate or two. And I wouldn't be surprised. You know, Obama has been taking private property of American citizens and giving it to his friends. Oh, yeah, look it up. He and his people have been destroying the values and fabric of American society faster than you can say bam. And I can say bam pretty damn quick. In reality, it is this regime that is the menace to America. What Julian Assange is doing is merely helping to reveal the duplicity and incompetence of this administration. And it could not be more ironic that he is doing so with documents which have been forwarded to him by leakers who themselves are a part of the Obama administration. Think about that. Obama has folks in his own administration leaking documents that show that he and his entire administration is incompetent. Let's delve deeper into this. You know, let's not get suckered here. Speaking of copulation, rather than being angry at the straw man set up by the administration, let's turn our sights to the real culprits, shall we? Hillary Clinton should resign immediately. The State Department is a mess and an embarrassment, and she was going to be president? She's been in charge of it. She needs to go. That's head number one. Put that on your mantle. Bye, Hillary. Yeah, I was attracted to her at one point. You know, the whole headband thing. She had that Mary Tyler Moore thing happening that I like so much. You know, but that was a long time ago. She's got to go. Congressman Peter King of New York, the incoming chairman of the House Homeland Security Committee, wants to have WikiLeaks designated as a terrorist organization along the lines of Al-Qaeda. He made this request in a letter to, of all people, Hillary Clinton. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks, Pete. I love you, man, but That's not going to work, Pete. Let me send a note to Peter King myself and other Republicans. Cablegate is Obama's Katrina times 10. Indeed, I do. Dude is a mess. Hillary Clinton is the Michael Brown of this affair. The buck has to stop with teleprompter in chief. George Bush accepted the responsibility for Katrina, even though it really was not his responsibility. That bald-headed moron named Nagin and that idiot Governor Blanco, they were the ones who were supposed to do their jobs, and they really didn't. They were charged with getting folks out of the cities and small towns and buses after buses waiting to take people out. They didn't really do anything except, you know, have a little gumbo and just kind of hang out and wait for the waters to, you know, you know, flood the towns and stuff. They didn't do anything. They start blaming, you know, a man W. Well, let's see whether Barack Obama is half the man George Bush was, and apparently he is not. He is not. After all, the State Department is under his direct purview. since he deals with it on a constant basis, he should have a handle on what's going on in there. The American people need to hold his feet to the fire, which we won't do because, you know, some folks still think he's Jesus. Come back to earth to save us. You know, but this is his responsibility. And what did he do? He behaved like it didn't even happen. Said nothing about it publicly yet. Because this is something that he cannot blame George Bush on. But I suspect he'll try in the coming days. But let's not get fooled this time around. The ruling elite will try to play on our patriotic feelings in order to save their necks. Contrary to what you hear, this administration and its acolytes, WikiLeaks disclosures are not a threat to America, but they are an immense threat to the current regime because they present a colossal indictment to its incompetence and stupidity. Yeah, I said it. Now, on a lighter note, I played this for you yesterday, and I had to play it a few times today for a few folks, and I just want to play it one more time. I can't help myself. I mean, it's my girl, my good friend, Tammy Bruce. I mean, she just put it where it was supposed to be. She put it down when she spoke about Barack Obama and his fat lip. I mean, I just thought that this was the most hilarious thing. And, you know, not a lot of people will go down and get on the radio and speak about our deity in chief the way she has, and I just seriously applaud her for it. I mean, I am such a big fan of hers. I played it for you yesterday, and it was just so funny. It was so funny, and it was just so so on point. Here it is.
You know, I'm telling you right now, I'm not the only one that's like thinking, you know, finally, about the getting elbow to the face. I am not. Liberals are, and conservatives are. Everybody's thinking, yeah, well, the big elbow of karma. The big elbow of karma. Here's some coverage of the elbow to the face. The President Obama, the White House tells us he got elbowed playing basketball today and that he needed 12 stitches on his lip. So let's bring in senior White House correspondent.
Yeah, let's do that.
Maybe will you talk about how the American people have been elbowed in the face every morning when they get up by this bastard? Are you going to discuss how we've been getting the elbow and we've had stitches every single day since this freak took off? And I think the question then, Ed, is who threw that elbow?
Well, Brianna, I can assure you, we are digging to get the answer to that. That's a question everyone wants to know, who threw the elbow. I can tell
Michelle,
you that a senior administration official told me it was not Reggie Love.
Listen to this report.
More stitches when you have a smaller.
Does that mean he can't open his freaking pile now?
With a smaller scar.
Scar, like he got punched in the face.
And in fact, a short while ago,
we
saw
scars
the president
now.
In a second-story residence window looking down on the first lady and his daughters as they welcomed the White House. And he still had the gauze on his lower lip. So here we are,
what
2 hours
dumbass.
After that sort of mid-morning. You can see in those pictures there, he had the gauze.
Oh, look, there he is. He's got a thing on his face. He's got
his lower lip. So here he is hours later, and he's still dealing with it.
Yeah, because
it's
he's
not something to take lightly, but he certainly
No, it's because he's a girly man.
All right.
I'm going to take it as being a punch from God.
Yes.
And what it has felt like as Americans to wake up every day and be punched and be elbowed
Amen.
By these people.
Amen. Amen, Tammy. Wow. I mean, I couldn't have said it better myself. Well, maybe I could have, but I'm glad she said it. I adore that woman. Oh, man, that was just, that was beautiful. Now let's move on to another serious topic. As some of you know, the Tea Party movement has swept the nation. There are Democrats all across the country who won their elections this past November by a very meager margin. Politico reports that a great many of those who won their seats back, a great many of those Democrats who won their seats by so narrow margins have switched to Republicans. That's amazing. But the Tea Party movement has not been confined to our shores. The movement is now spreading. It's not a party. It's not a political party. It's a movement. And the movement has now spread all across Europe. Nigel Fagan may not be a name that you're familiar with, but his message to the European Union this week echoed the familiar anti-spending slogans of the American Tea Party. Earlier this week, the leader of the UK Independence Party and co-president of Europe of Freedom and Democracy, the EFD, spoke out against the EU for allowing member states to get into debt and bailing them out at the expense of the ordinary people of Europe. All this in the name of cohesion. He suggests that it makes a significant threat to democracy. What he goes on to say is, we don't want that flag. We don't want the anthem. We don't want this political class. We want the whole thing consigned to the dustbin of history. Just who the hell do you think you people are? Well, hey, let's have a little bit of it. Dig it. Tell me what you think.
Mr. Call President Nigel Farage, Freedom and Democracy.
Well, good morning, Mr. Van Rompuy. You've been in office for 1 year, and in that time, the whole edifice is beginning to crumble. There's chaos. The money's running out. I should thank you. You should perhaps be the pin-up boy of the Eurosceptic movement. But just look around this chamber this morning. Just look at these faces. Look at the fear. Look at the anger. Poor old Barroso here looks like he's seen a ghost. You know, they're beginning to understand that the game is up. And yet, in their desperation to preserve their dream, they want to remove any remaining traces of democracy from the system. And it's pretty clear that none of you have learned anything. You know, when you yourself, Mr. Van Rompuy, say that the euro has brought us stability, I suppose I could applaud you for having a sense of humour, but isn't this really just the bunker mentality? You know, your fanaticism is out in the open. You talked about the fact that it was a lie to believe that the nation state could exist in a 21st century globalised world. Well, that may be true in the case of Belgium, who haven't had a government for 6 months, but for the rest of us, right across every member state in this union, and perhaps this is why we see the fear in the faces, increasingly people are saying, we don't want that flag, we don't want the anthem, we don't want this political class, we want the whole thing consigned to the dustbin of history. And we had the Greek tragedy earlier on this year, and now we have the situation in Ireland. Now, I know that the stupidity and greed of Irish politicians has a lot to do with this. They should never, ever have joined the euro. They suffered with low interest rates, a false boom, and a massive bust. But look at your response to them. What they're being told, as their government's collapsing, is that it would be inappropriate for them to have a general election. In fact, Commissioner Wren here said they had to agree their budget first before they'd be allowed to have a general election. Just who the hell do you think you people are? You are very, very dangerous people indeed. Your obsession with creating this Euro state means that you're happy to destroy democracy. You appear to be happy for millions and millions of people to be unemployed and to be poor. Untold millions must suffer so that your Euro dream can continue. Well, it won't work, because it's Portugal next. With their debt levels of 325% of GDP, they're the next ones on the list. And after that, I suspect it'll be Spain. And the bailout for Spain would be seven times the size of Ireland. And at that moment, all of the bailout money has gone. There won't be any more. But it's even more serious than economics. Because if you rob people of their identity, if you rob them of their democracy, then all they are left with is nationalism and violence. I can only hope and pray that the Euro project is destroyed by the markets before that really happens.
All right. Well said. Well said indeed.
The speaker.
I guess that sums it up. As part of our... national identity as Americans, we see what's happening all across Europe. And I know, as I've stated before, a lot of you don't really have time to think about these things. A lot of you don't have the time that I have to digest all of this information, to listen to it, to read. After all, I'm retired. I own my own business, and I have a little bit of free time on my hands, and I can spend time doing this. And a lot of you don't have that time. You're going about your busy lives. You're working. You're taking care of your family, and you don't have a lot of time to get the homework done. To listen to what's going on, not only here in America. It doesn't make you any less smarter than I am, or you know, or anything like that. You just don't have the time. I understand that, guys. I there was a time where I really didn't have a lot of time for this kind of thing either. But what's going on around the world is frightening. Because what Farage talked about was a people, a nation, nations losing their identity, their heritages, the things that their ancestors fought for and cherished, all in the name of globalization, open society. The thing that George Soros has made his life's work. You know, the EU was a testing ground for what's referred to commonly as the New World Order. Just as Massachusetts was a test for Obamacare. And both are failures. This is socialism at its worst. Europe is about to become unglued. Imagine $113 billion for a little country like Ireland. And who's going to keep providing this money? Germany? No. England? France? The UK? America? Before long, they'll say, we've had enough. Eventually, the needs of individual countries, the ones doing the work, will override the welfare of the group. It's happening right now before your eyes. Socialism, Marxism, communism, they simply do not work. It's a dream. It's a pipe dream, and it's a sick, bizarre pipe dream. And folks just keep trying. Never mind that over the years, over the centuries, it's never worked anywhere to any great degree. But they just keep trying. Because as I was taught as a child, there's always going to be somebody who wants what you have and doesn't believe that you deserve it, that either they deserve it or somebody else they know deserves it, or they want somebody else to have what you have. Whether you're a 5-year-old walking down your street with a handful of candy, there's going to be somebody who's going to say, you should share that candy. And if you're not, we're going to take it from you and pass it out. I mean, it's just the same thing, only with 50, 60, 70-year-olds that run countries. It is amazing to me what is going on in this country and around the globe. Europe is collapsing under its own weight financially. I wonder what Georgie has to do with all that. I wonder if the evil hand of spooky George Soros has anything to do with that. My man Glenn Beck says it's time to head for the storm cellars. I wonder if it's time. Because just as I pointed out that a lot of you don't have a lot of time to digest all of this information and to fully grasp the meaning of what's happening, not because you're not smart. I don't believe that what Obama believes, that we're all Homer Simpsons. No, it's that a lot of people just don't have a lot of time. And these things are secondary to putting food on the table and taking care of one's family. But there is going to come a time, we're seeing it every day, food prices are rising. We have intentionally devalued the dollar by putting $600 billion into the economy by just printing paper money and just putting it out there. What happens when you add $600 billion to the economy? You devalue the dollar, not only here in the United States, but across the globe. Now, someone who lives in a small village who has $10 that used to be worth $18, maybe $50 in his native currency, well, now it's worth $10. And probably even less in his native currency. All because we decided we're going to print more money and just put it out there. So that those who in other countries, Spain, Portugal, just to name two, or any place in Europe, in Africa, who have a dollar, that dollar is now worth, perhaps to them, 40 cents. Think about that. I wish you all a happy good night, and hopefully we'll talk again tomorrow. Thank you for listening. See you tomorrow.